Please take your Bibles and let us stand as we turn to the Gospel according to John, chapter 16. We're going to be looking today at verses 23 through 27. We began looking at some of this last week, and this is going to be a little bit of an overlap. It's where Jesus is still speaking to them about prayer. John chapter 16, verse 23. "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. But the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came forth from God." This is the word of the Lord. I debated long and hard whether to do something that they told us never to do in seminary, so I didn't do it. But I'm going to do it now. What they told us never to do in seminary was never, when you read from the Word of God, do your own translation, but read from a Bible that people have in front of them so they can follow you. Now I'm going to give you the same passage, but I'm going to read from a translation that I have done of this because of one important thing. And that is, there are two words in this passage that we just read that are translated ask and in another place pray. And the problem is there are two different words that are translated ask, and it's not clear what's being said. And then the word pray, well, listen to this in this way. Let's try to see if I can do it on the fly here. This is starting in verse 23 again. "And in that day, you will not question me anymore. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you beg the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have begged nothing in my name. Beg, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will beg in my name. And I do not say to you that I shall question the Father about you. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God." It makes a difference when you realize that there are two words in here. One means question, to ask a question of someone, and the other means to beg, to ask and plead and insist and demand and beg. What's Jesus saying, I think, here is quite clear. It's clear about prayer. Prayer is vital. Now, this is something that we must not ever pass over when we think about prayer. It's vital for your Christian life. It was vital in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ during his life. It's vital now. It's part of his ministry in heaven. He intercedes for us from the right hand of the throne of God. The apostles considered prayer to be their most important ministry. When you look at the book of Acts and the apostles decide what they're going to do when the deacons are established, and they say, we will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Not the ministry of the word and prayer, but prayer first and the ministry of the word. So it's extremely important, because it's through prayer that God enables you to resist the devil. That it's through prayer that God will give you your needs. It's through prayer that you find grace and mercy to help you in time of need. It's through prayer that you receive the fullness of God's joy. It's through prayer that you receive comfort and you are made free from worry. It's through prayer that the fullness of the Holy Spirit comes. It's through prayer that you grow spiritually. It's through prayer that you find power for the work that you do. It's through prayer that you are enabled to lead others to Christ. It's through prayer that the blessings of God come to His church. And so, Prayer is important. God uses our prayers in a mighty way. So what is prayer? And what Jesus says here right at first is there's a difference between questioning and asking. His disciples, he tells, in that day, will ask him nothing, it says in the New King James. But what he's talking about there is the time after the resurrection and after the ascension and after the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit has come down upon them. And the fact that up until that very time, they continue to question him. They continue to not understand Christ's teachings about his death and his resurrection. And so they continually question him and question his mission. And so he says to them, as I mentioned just a minute ago, in that day you will no longer question me. Meaning, after the resurrection and the ascension and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, when he's come to dwell upon them, that they would finally understand the reasons God had behind Christ's death on the cross. And they would not question God's wisdom in that day. Up until this point, in the last three chapters, they've been questioning this in their own minds. Why is this going to happen? Why is he going to leave us? And they haven't dared to actually express those questions yet. But they don't understand this. And so prayer, first of all, as Jesus says here, is not questioning God's will or power or motives. That's not prayer. Prayer is asking or begging from God. The second word here for ask in this text, which is different from the word question back in verse 23, means to beg for. It's simply where he says, you will ask the Father, you will beg the Father in my name. And so prayer involves conversation with God. It should be as natural to pray for the Christian as it is for you or me to speak to someone else on earth. We ought to be able to pray in an unaffected way. Now, what I mean by that is you and I don't need to put on a prayer voice. Oh God, I'm praying to you. No, we don't need to do that. We don't need to do that because we are God's children. We don't need to think that God's going to hear us because of the tone of our voice. Instead, we should converse with our Father just like we converse with someone on earth. That it should be as natural as a conversation that a child on earth has with his earthly father. That's what we're looking at, and even more so. Charles Spurgeon said a number of years ago, whatever else a believer may fail to do, he should never fail, surely, in asking. If we have never asked God for anything at all, we may be quite sure that we were never converted. A prayerless soul must be a Christless soul. But if we are really in Christ, we must have practiced the sacred art of asking. And we ought to go on continually with it. Spurgeon understood quite clearly that prayer ought to be natural for the Christian. Well, it's supernatural, obviously. People who are the natural man don't pray. But once you have been converted, the new nature is to pray. It ought to be something that comes because we have a freedom of approach to God. Up until this time, Jesus tells his disciples, up until now, you have begged nothing in my name. Beg, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. They had asked him many questions. They had questioned his motives, and Peter is even going to say, surely not, Lord, and going to be rebuked by Jesus. But they have not yet prayed to God in Christ's name. There was going to be a change now. And it's going to be a change that's going to come about on the basis of Christ's death and resurrection. So that those who come to God the Father come with the same confidence of approach that is characterized by the disciples when they talk with Christ during His earthly ministry. As a result of Christ's death and resurrection, you may approach God, the God of the universe, boldly, because He's your Father. And you may ask Him your request in the name of Jesus Christ. And you will receive answers to prayer. You can come to God the Father knowing that your request will be heard and answered by Him if you meet the conditions of effective prayer. Now, what are they? Here, He describes one very important thing. Ask in My name. You need to ask in His name. Jesus says the main condition for effective prayer is that you and I must ask God in the name of Christ. You must come to God as a Christian. You must be identified with Christ in order to have your prayers answered. There must be personal faith living in you for you to come to God and ask God and have God answer you. You ask in Jesus' name. The name of Jesus, of course, in Scripture is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jehovah, the Savior, God's Anointed One, is what those terms mean. He's Lord. And this is the Greek word that translates Jehovah in the Old Testament, the one who is divine, the one who is the true God. And here Jesus is God incarnate. He is the Lord, identified with Jehovah of the Old Testament. He is Jesus. His name means, as it says in Matthew 1:21, He shall save His people from their sins. He is Jehovah, is salvation. That's what His name means. And He is Christ, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Messiah, the Anointed One. He's anointed by God to perform the works of salvation and to anoint God's people with the Holy Spirit. So He has come to do those things. And therefore, to come to the Father in Jesus' name means that you and I are to come believing in Jesus Christ, that Jesus is fully God, that He is the unique and only Son of God, that He has performed all of the work of salvation for us, that He saves His people by His death upon the cross and by His resurrection from the dead, that He was anointed by God to do this very thing and that He has accomplished that. And so a very minimum definition of what a Christian is that we believe that about the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore prayer, as we think about it, prayer is for Christians only. It's a family privilege that God only gives to Christians. Now, God may hear an unbeliever's prayer, but He does not promise to answer an unbeliever's prayer the way He promises to answer the prayers of Christians through the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody said one time that the only prayer of an unbeliever that God really truly hears and answers is the prayer of contrition, where the person cries out and says, "I'm a sinner," and begs to be received in the name of Christ. But at that particular point, the Holy Spirit's working on your heart. You've already been regenerated when you pray that prayer, because you can't pray it apart from having been regenerated already. We pray in Christ and by Christ's merits alone. You don't come to God and say, like the Pharisee did, "Oh God, I thank You I'm not like other men." Especially not this dirty, unwashed tax collector over here. "I tithe, I fast, I this, I that, I the other. I'm a Sunday school teacher, I'm an elder, I come to church every time the doors are open." No, God's not going to hear a prayer like that. It would be incredibly foolish to ever try to present ourselves in that way. "God, You've got to accept me because I'm so good." Because there's not anybody good. No, not one. So we come on the merits of Christ alone. An illustration that's been given sometimes is the illustration of trying to cash a check where you have no money. Now, this is not the cartoon. I remember seeing Frank and Ernest one time where one of the characters said that the bank must be wrong, he couldn't be out of money, he still had checks left. No. If you're out of money at the bank, they're not going to cash your check. You can go down to the bank and say, I want to cash this check for $1,000, and if you've got zero in your bank account, they're not going to do it. They shouldn't. But you can go to the bank of heaven, and you can cash the check given to you by Christ that's signed on His account with His name, and you will receive the fullness of all of Christ's bank account of heaven, because His name is on that account and it's given to you by faith. And that's what prayer is. We're praying that God would hear us, not because of who we are, not because of what we do, but because of the one in whose name we come, Christ. Now, we pray to God according to Christ's character and His objectives. And so, praying to God in the name of Christ also means to pray according to His will. One of the parallel passages here is found in 1 John 5, where verses 14 and 15 say, Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Now, what that means is that you and I are to pray prayers for what Christ wants, not for what you want. And that is vitally important, because one of the lies that Satan is spreading today through TV and many other places is that you can pray for anything and God has to give it to you as long as you pray a prayer of faith. And usually the focus is on Mint Coats, diamond rings, and Cadillacs. Or healing. One of those things. The point of prayer, though, is that you and I must want what Christ wants, not necessarily our own desires. And so that James tells us, when you pray and you don't receive, one of the reasons you don't get what you ask for is because you pray amiss. You want to spend it on yourself. Oh God, I want to win the lottery. Give me $10 million. I promise I'll tithe. Now, I'm sure that that prayer has actually been prayed by people. Okay? I'm pretty sure that in this country, there are people that have prayed that prayer. And we're greedy. And we're selfish. And God quite wisely doesn't give us $10 million, because I'm pretty sure we'd find reasons not to tithe. We'd find lawyers that would convince us, or that we could convince, that tithing really isn't what we really want to do with all that money anyway. We want to actually spend it on ourselves. That's what our sinful nature tells us. And so James says, that's why you don't get what you ask for when you ask that way. You have to have the same attitude in your heart that Jesus had when He said, Not my will, but thine be done. That's one of the key elements of prayer, that always we desire the will of God rather than our own will. And sometimes that means that God can say yes, and God can say no, and God can alter what we're asking for. So we need to recognize that sometimes a legitimate answer to our prayers, this is not what you hear on TV, but a legitimate answer to God, to our prayers, is when God says, no, that is not what you need. Or maybe it's not what you need right now. Or, really, you're asking for the wrong thing altogether. You need this. God can do that. But what about praying and saying, if it be thy will? Many Christians ask that question. Should we always say that? Well, there are many times when we don't know God's will. That's true. When we are praying for someone who is terminally ill and we're praying and we're asking God for healing for that person, it is entirely and completely appropriate to pray, if it be your will. Because we don't know. We don't know the outcome of that healing, whether God intends to heal that person or whether that's that person's home going. It may very well be. We don't know about the outcome of war or a union strike or a number of things. There's some things that are just simply not written down in the Bible that we don't know the outcome of, and it's entirely proper at that time when we don't know what the will of God is to pray, if it be your will. But there are other times when we know God's will. We know that God has ordained, and He tells us in Scripture, that He wants you to grow in grace. The Bible tells you God wants you to be conformed to the image of Christ, and therefore, when you pray about your sanctification or the sanctification of someone else that's a Christian, you do not have to add, if it be your will. It already is His will. He says it's His will. Oh God, please cause me to turn away from my sins more and more and to grow to be more like my Savior. And I don't have to add, if it be your will, because I know it already is, because He says so in Scripture. So, we have boldness where God has spoken, and He has told us clearly in the Scriptures, I want you to be conformed to the image of my Son. Therefore, when you pray for sanctification, know that that's what I want to do. And there are other places where we don't know what His will is, and we have caution, where there is no clear revelation from God in the Bible about that, and we pray, if it be your will, Lord. Christ adds a new promise here. In verse 25 and 26, He talks about understanding and He talks about joy. He says, I've spoken to you in figurative language. The time's coming when I'm not going to speak to you anymore in figurative language. I'm going to tell you plainly about the Father. And then He says, as I translated in verse 26, in that day you will beg in my name, and I do not say that I shall have to question the Father concerning you. What's He getting at? Well, understanding. Christ has explained that up to this time He has spoken to them in figurative speech. But when the Holy Spirit comes on them on the day of Pentecost, then Christ will provide a plain understanding to His people. And therefore, the Bible says, if you lack understanding, ask God. Ask God through Christ. And Christ promises to reveal plainly the meaning of the cross in your Christian life. They didn't understand that now. Once He's gone through the cross and through the resurrection and has ascended and poured out the Holy Spirit, then it will be abundantly clear why He had to do what He did. And so when we ask why that happened, we will have clear understanding of that. And joy. Joy comes to you when God answers prayer. Satisfaction in seeing God work in His grace in your life through Christ. And joy also comes to you. And it's real because you understand that God cares for you and He is the giver of all the good things that you have received in this life. So when Christ says He doesn't need to ask, or the New King James says to pray the Father for you, what He's saying is He will not have to question the Father's will for your life. To question the Father about you, or for you. Is it really your will to hear Him, Father? Is He one of my own that you really wish to hear? No, Christ is not going to have to do that. He's not going to have to ask the Father if it's His will to hear and answer your prayers offered in His name. Instead, He's enabling you to remember that the Father loves you and will answer your prayers in Christ's name. God loved you first. Then you love Him in return by His grace. And then He continues to love you because you are now made to love Christ. And He will answer your prayers. Jesus doesn't want you to think that the only reason God the Father will hear you is because Jesus is strong enough to twist God's arm up behind His back and make Him hear and answer your prayers even though the Father doesn't want to. Oh, no, 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 please don't. No, I really don't want to bless it. Oh, no, oh, okay, I will. No, God doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't do that. God already desires to hear and answer the prayers of His people. He doesn't need Christ to force him to do so like he were unwilling, because he already is very willing to hear your prayers. He loves you in his Son. So, don't make the mistake that some people make of thinking that it took the atonement of Christ to make the Father love you. The truth is, the atonement of Christ is proof of the Father's love for his chosen people. God the Father, because he loves his chosen people, gave his only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. And so, God is not a person who is so difficult to please that Jesus has to force him to hear and answer your prayers. Instead, he is ready to hear, and he is ready to respond favorably to his people's prayers when we pray in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Let me leave you with two questions from Charles Spurgeon in his sermon on this very text. He asks these two things. He says, is prayer a reality with you, dear friends, or is it a mere mockery? Is it a sort of religious rite that you feel bound to perform, or has it become as essential to your spiritual being as breathing is to your natural being? Is it now to you a matter of course that you should pray? Is it as natural for you to ask of your Father who is in heaven as it is for your little children to ask of you who are fathers on earth? And then he says, the history of the future depends very largely upon the prayers of the present. If you and other believers restrain prayer, you may help to bring on long, dark, chilly winters for the church of God. But if you and they are aroused to go up as Elijah went up to Carmel, and if you cry mightily unto the Lord God of Israel, surely you shall see the skies covered with clouds, and there shall be a sound of abundance of rain. So one of the marvelous and wonderful things about our God is that though he could simply from heaven snap his fingers and everything would work out exactly as he desires for it to work out, what he has ordained to do is to use frail, sinful, weak people like you and me to pray for the things that God is going to do, and God does them in answer to our prayers. It's part blessing for us. It's the way in which God works in this world. He can do all those other things too. No doubt about that. He did them in creation. He can do without us, but he is ordained to work through us and in us and with us and in answer to our prayers. And so prayer is a vital ministry of the church, and we need to consider it that important in our lives also as Christians. Do you pray? Do you pray regularly? Do you pray individually? Do you pray as a family? Do you pray as a church? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a marvelous God you are. And how we thank you that Jesus doesn't have to twist your arm to make you hear and answer prayers, that you are willing to do so in his name already. And you've expressed your love for us in Christ. And so we know already when we come to you that you there are willing to hear and to answer prayers offered in his name and according to your holy will. And so, Father, we pray that indeed it might please you to cause this church to grow. We know that your will is for your church to spread and to grow. We pray indeed it might be your will for this church to grow. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would bless us each to grow as Christians. We know that absolutely is true. And so we pray that we might be sanctified and become more like our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we would love one another more than we do now, that you would increase our love. And, Father, that as an aspect of that love that we have for one another, we would pray for one another daily. Father, we know that as these things take place in our lives, that you will cause us to grow, and that you will also cause this church to grow. So we ask that you would do this in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Savior. Amen.